in place. So, in the outline from last night, if you read through carefully, it also pointed out that the fellowship of the Lord's sufferings the Lord's sufferings refer to his experiences as he chose to not live by his perfect human life. And he chose to live by the divine life, enabling his human life to be a channel for the divine life to be lived out of him as a man. And when he did that, religious people and non-religious people didn't like it. So there were certain sufferings, outwardly speaking. But was he suffering? He was having fellowship. Outwardly, it looked like he was suffering. He was having fellowship. If you asked him, Lord, are you suffering right now? He said, no, I'm enjoying the Father. He might say, what suffering? What suffering? He might. So likewise, when we're in this realm, having chosen to not live in our natural life, but coming to him in his indwelling, in our spirit, and being inducted by him into himself, into his lovely person in which we can and must live, there will be all kinds of things happening around us. And guess what? In this sheltered, romantic realm, you just are in fellowship. So you're in sufferings, but you're in fellowship, and you're immune to the sufferings. Do you get my point? So it's not that I'm suffering terribly as the Lord suffered terribly, and now I can identify with him because he suffered terribly, and I'm suffering terribly too. No. The fellowship of his sufferings is he had terrible sufferings, but he was fellowshipping with the Father in the midst of those sufferings, and he was in delight. And those sufferings couldn't shake him. It didn't affect him, didn't deter him. So the fellowship of our sufferings, the fellowship of his sufferings in Philippians 3:10 include our experience of that, where people look at us and say, how come he's not shaken? How come he's not upset? I'd be upset. Looks like he's suffering, but he's at peace. He's calm. Why? Because in the sufferings, in the midst of the environmental sufferings, he's in the person realm fellowshipping. And he's there in the fellowship of his late sufferings, enjoying the same kind of fellowship that the Lord enjoyed with the Father as he was there. Now, as we stay here, this is a realm of death and a realm of resurrection simultaneously. Death to the natural man, so that all of the negative fall-related foxes in our being are out of the picture, at least temporarily, while we're there, and we have a life in resurrection. Now, if we take our living as if it were a video presentation, a video viewed at the programmed speed becomes a motion picture. But if you take that video and look at the, at least in the old-fashioned, I'm not sure digitally these days, I'm not so sure, but you could break down that motion picture to various frames. I think you can still do that, right, even digitally? You look at various frames. So, a picture of our human living. So the entire question is, if you take a panning view of your day, say, or of a number of days, and then you take it and you look at it frame by frame, in how many of those frames are you perceiving, consciously registering, I am in him as the person, place, I am in him? Okay? 5% of the frames? 1% of the frames? 20% of the frames. Well, as we go up the staircase, when we approach 100% of the frames, reveal you, involved romantically with the person in the place, and with a consciousness that he is everything. We're in this realm where he's everything. There's nothing that's not him. There's nothing that's uninvolved with him. There's nothing that's neutral. Everything is him. And we're in love with him. So what kind of life is that? It's incredible. What kind of problems are there? No problems. There is no problem. There's no problem. So, this is Paul's sentence. This is his one sentence for us. Eventually, the subject of the sentence is Christ himself. Him is him. As the out resurrection. Him as the realm populated by us in the details of our living in an ongoing way. When we arrive at that, we arrive at the out resurrection from among the dead. Okay, so that's our review. So if we could, take outline four. Attaining to the out resurrection. So, one says, the result of being conformed to Christ's death is that we may attain to the out resurrection from among the dead. Now, being conformed to his death this is not the subjunctive may. It's the affirmative may. In other words, if we're conformed to his death, it doesn't mean that we might arrive at the out resurrection from among the dead. The may here means that you will arrive. So it's affirmative, not subjunctive, if yeah. You know what I mean. Okay. Now, point two. Tell me, do we need to insert, this says, to attain to the out resurrection is to arrive at the out resurrection. This requires us to triumphantly, do you have the word run there? Yeah. You do, okay. In my mind it came out. To run the race for the prize. So we are in this incredible race. This incredible race. So in these verses, Paul pictures the Christian life as a race. And as a race, you know, a runner is a tent, striving, training, you know. There's this side to our Christian life. But if there are only that side, I mean, you can only run a race so long, right? So this Christian race is different. It's also relaxing. It's also strolling. It's also invigorating, supplying. So when the race is continued attention and concentration to maintain a consciousness of where we are and with whom we are, and that this is romantic. As we attain this, this is the stamina that it takes. This is the stamina we need to cultivate and develop. Okay, so now in 3 and 4, so I think we're all aware that it's wonderful we're in the Lord's recovery, and you know, in the Lord's recovery we have the Recovery Version of the Bible, which is an extremely accurate translation of the word. Now, most translations, most authoritative translations, translate the Greek word out resurrection, substituting the word resurrection only. Why? Because the translators didn't understand the significance of the particle, the prefix, ek, which means out of resurrection. So the ek here, praise the Lord, this opens this wonderful understanding of what this word means. This ek has two meanings. One is that it's not just common resurrection. As Phil said last night, it's not just the resurrection of Lazarus. And it's also not just the resurrection that will occur onto judgment of the unbelievers or onto life of the believers. No, it's a resurrection onto life, but a special resurrection onto life. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it tells us that all believers at the end of the age will be raptured. But we also know that a number of believers, or many believers, some believers, will be raptured before the Lord's open coming at the end of the Great Tribulation, but will be raptured according to Revelation chapter 14 and 12, before the Great Tribulation. So there's a difference here. There's the resurrection unto judgment, the resurrection unto life, and then among those who will be there at the resurrection unto life, some of them have a special resurrection in addition, which is earlier, and that is a wonderful, excellent, valedictory resurrection. And that's the resurrection that's at the top of the bridal staircase. So, That's one meaning. It's extra special. It's special. The other one is that it's ek means out. It's a resurrection out of, as Brother Phil shared last night. Every time we go through this process, sense ourselves, in ourselves, conscious of ourselves, and say, no, I don't agree with this. And we start to turn, in conformity with the conformity to his death that begins, or in parallel to that conformity, there's also the rising up of a resurrection life, empowering us to get into him and taking us, giving us the inertia and strength to get into him. And that resurrection is a resurrection out of a living that's in the old creation, apart from God, into a situation of conscious awareness and touch with him. So these are the two significances of out resurrection. So 3 says, the out resurrection is the outstanding resurrection, the extra resurrection, which will be a prize to the overcoming saints. And we have reference verses there. A, all believers who are dead in Christ will participate in the resurrection from the dead at the Lord's coming back. B, the Lord's overcomers, however, will enjoy an extra outstanding portion of that resurrection, a resurrection in which they will receive the reward of the kingdom. This is what the Apostle Paul sought after. So in these verses, it refers to the better resurrection. The better resurrection. That's what the Apostle sought for. Then, C, the out resurrection should be the goal and the destination of the Christian life, beginning with our initial regeneration and consecration to him, should follow in that principle. Now, so that's one, that's Roman numeral 3 is on the significance of the out resurrection being special, worthy of our attention, worthy of focusing our whole being and all the strength that we have upon. Now, 4 begins the significance of the out resurrection in that it's out of the old creation into the new. So to arrive at the out resurrection indicates that our entire being is gradually and continually resurrected. Gradually means that the frames of your video program, your frames more and more catch you in the realm. They catch you in the realm. And then continually means now the frames are full. Now the frames are full. Is that feasible? Yes. Why not? Yes, it's feasible. And the sooner the better. There's no reason. If the Lord, I believe the Lord within is saying, is there a reason why you can't do this today? Why not today? Daniel, you're a young man. Why not today? Why not today? What an aspiration to arrive today. If we aspire to arrive today, we'll make more progress toward that arrival than if we didn't aspire to arrive today. Right. Now, verse references that show that our being is being gradually resurrected out of the old creation into the new are Romans 6, 4 and 5, 2 Corinthians 1, 8 and 9, 2 Corinthians 4, 10, and 2 Corinthians 4, 16. Now, point A says, God first resurrected our dead in spirit. He then proceeds to resurrect our soul. So his resurrecting our dead in spirit was in Philippians 3, 8. Then the process of his resurrecting our soul is in verses 9 and 10. He proceeds to resurrect our soul and our mortal body until our whole being, spirit, soul, and body, is fully resurrected out of our old being by his life and with his life. And then we arrive, then we do arrive at chapter 3, verse 11. B says, this is a process, as Brother Phil shared last night. This is a process in life through which we must pass, and a race we must run, so we have to be intent and have it be our sole priority. Brother Josh is here, right? Josh? Brother Josh. Josh was here earlier, I thought. So Josh told us on Friday night about his son who has the burning aspiration to be a top oboe player. And he must be a very capable young man because most of us wouldn't be able to play the oboe in such a good way. But he wants to be a great oboe player. Is that laudatory? Is that good? Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. Now, what do we want to aspire to? Do you think to aspire to arrive at the out-resurrection can be compared with being a good oboe player? Well, if a young person can be captured by the prospect of playing oboe, why can't we all be captured by the prospect of attaining, arriving at the out-resurrection from among the dead and letting it churn, letting it control, letting it govern, letting it sweep us away, letting it rapture us into the person realm? Why not? Point C says, if we are conformed to Christ's death, every part of our being will be gradually resurrected. The Christian life, this staircase, is a process of resurrection. D, we can reach this goal only by being conformed to the death of Christ, by living a crucified life. And so in a sentence, our brother said, to be conformed to the death of Christ is to remain in his death. This is the fundamental principle of the Christian life because it signals that we're safeguarded and kept in our conscious framed experience of the Lord himself. Why not? Do you want to live at home as a husband? Conscious of yourself? Or do you want to live as a husband just conscious of your wife? You should live as a husband, if you want to be the best husband, live as a husband conscious of the person realm. That your home, your dwelling place, is the person. and you're in this person romantically involved. Now, you as a husband can have consciousness of your wife within your consciousness of him, and now you have the New Testament married life. E, in the death of Christ, we are processed from the old creation to the new. So when we have the frames filled, we have been processed out of the old creation where nothing is involved actively and experientially with the divine life and with God himself, to a situation where everything is experientially involved with the divine life and Christ himself personally and romantically. So 5 says, this connects with 5, the out-resurrection is a resurrection out of the old creation into the new. A, to be brought, to be in the old, to be in the out-resurrection means to leave everything of the old creation and to be brought, where? Into God, that is in the person realm of Jesus Christ romantically. That is what was happening. That was happening when the Lord said, I will prepare a place for you and desire to have you where I am. This where I am is not, well, includes the death of Christ, but this where I am is in God and in the realm of the consummated Spirit. So let's get used to talking about these things. 6, for Paul to live was Christ as the out-resurrection. So this tells us the practicality. So we can read Philippians 1:21 and say, for me to live is Christ, and still wonder, well, what is that? Okay, here it is. For you to live is Christ is for you, to experience Philippians 3:8-11, and arrive at the point that you are knowing him by being found in him all the time, so that transiently during your residence in him as a realm, and eventually permanently as he saturates your being, you're in God. Living Christ. So A says the out-resurrection is notice these romantic words. The out-resurrection is actually the dear, precious, excellent person of Christ. The one who through resurrection, crucifixion and resurrection has passed out of the old creation and has entered into God. So there again we have John 14:3-20. He purposed that he would go to the Father. And then he said, in that day you will know that I'm in my Father and you're in me. And that, at that time, was factual and positional. But now, through this process, arriving at Philippians 3:11, it becomes experiential. The Christ whom we should live is himself the out-resurrection. Then Roman numeral 7. In Philippians 3:12, Paul had already obtained the believer's common salvation by common faith, but he had not attained the extra portion of resurrection. So the subpoints point out that he persecuted, he pursued. And what does it mean to persecute? It means to be relentless, to not give up, and to obligate the one you're pursuing to submit to you. So now what does the Lord want? The Lord wants you to pursue this experience exhaustively, to the point that tirelessly, to the point that you obligate him and don't give him any other choice. But actually, he's waiting for you to do that all the time. But by having that attitude, you do it today. You do it today. Not deferred, you do it today. Now, 8 says, we need to be conformed to Christ's death so that by any means we may attain to the out-resurrection from the dead. This is the only way for the Lord to go on in his recovery, the only way for the Lord to build up his church, and the only way to prepare the bride, and the only way to bring the Lord back. Amen. This, saints, is the Lord's recovery, And saints, this little staircase will bring you through all the barriers. This is the way. This is the Lord as the way in John 14:6. This is the way for us. This is the only way for us to go on in his recovery. It's the only way for him to build up the church. The only way for the bride to be prepared. And the only way to bring the Lord back. Now, I'll stop there, except I just want to make reference to your other outline. I obviously won't get into it. This was intended to be a supplement. We didn't have the thought that we were going to get into that this morning. I just want to refer to it so that you could appreciate. When we arrive here, we are filled with wine. Now, by staying in him as the person place, enjoying him romantically, we're filled with him as the divine wine. And now, we can have the experience that Paul had, that he referred to in Philippians 2:17-18. Now, Brother Phil pointed out that in the structure of the book, it looks like when Paul was writing, he was going to stop the book at the end of chapter 2. And at the end of chapter 2, he ends it with rejoicing. He says, I rejoice, and you rejoice together with me. And he said, I rejoice because of the sacrifice of your faith, the believers in Philippi. And their faith there refers to their experience of Christ as everything, coming into this realm and experiencing him as everything, as signified by the offering. Try not to make this too complicated. But the five basic offerings in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7 are all represented by the burnt offering becoming the peace offering. And the burnt offering refers to this, that when it comes to one of those little frames in your video clip, one of those little frames, that in that frame, the Lord was everything to you. You were absolute for him. And you laid your hands upon him and came to him and embraced him. In that frame, if you had that sentiment and you had that feeling, you experienced him as the burnt offering. So derivatively, as you experience this, you're experiencing him as the burnt offering and not staying apart from him, being absolute for him, giving yourself to him to live in him. As you do that, you're in this realm moving, living in him, and he moves, deposits, enriches, eyes, fences, and you get saturated with what? Saturated with him as wine. So as you go through this process of filling your frames and you get to the top here, you're a bottle, a vessel filled with wine. So when Paul said he was, as a drink offering, was being ready to be poured out, he was referring to his having approximated the resurrection from among the dead and having lived this way in his life there in the prison. He was filled with wine, and he realized he was about to be poured out, and he said, I rejoice that on your experience of pursuing, which is the sacrifice of your faith, which is your offering something, you're giving your experiences to the Lord for his satisfaction. Now, I can be poured out on top of that. So the drink offering is not mentioned in Leviticus chapters 1 through 7. It's mentioned later in the book and also in the book of Numbers and Deuteronomy. It's a supplemental offering. This means that in the church life, as the saints are pursuing the experience of Christ and the Lord is satisfied with their experience of him as the all-inclusive one represented by the offerings, and you, as a more mature one, can help these other ones come along by your pattern and by your experience, then you pour yourself out on their sacrifice of faith, and this becomes the ultimate church life offering to satisfy God the Father. So that's a summary of outline number 5. So we praise the Lord and thank Him.
Amen.
We're in the Lord's recovery, saints.
Amen.
The Lord expects nothing to hold you back.
Amen.
He expects nothing to hold you down.
Amen.
He expects you to make extraordinary progress in this process, and is waiting to see it. And it should happen in Kansas City. It should happen in Lincoln. It should happen in Omaha. It should happen in Wichita. It should happen in Springfield.
It
should happen in Oklahoma City, in Norman, in Edmond. Should happen in Kansas City. Should happen Topeka, Fayetteville. Saints, the Lord is taking us on.
Amen.
He's serious about this. He's serious about this. And He wants us to be personally involved in His coming and the consummation of the age. And the Lord's recovery is taking us this way. So, please, go on LSM.org, your webcast subscription service, and notice the pop-up indicator there, which says that for the conference in Kansas City, the Living Stream Ministry put on the internet for your access the tapes entitled The Experience of Christ Part 1. That's these messages given in Boston. The Experience of Christ Part 2, these messages given in Anaheim. And if you listen to these messages, saints, it will change your life. And you'll realize that that word spoken in 1978 was spoken for you right now. So, well, we just praise the Lord.
Amen.
We thank the Lord for being with us during this time. And we expect that when we see each other a year from now, that things are going to be different.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen.